Hello, everybody. My name is Joe Vargas, and you're listening to My Swift Journey podcast, my adventures of becoming an iOS developer. Hi everybody, it is Joe. It is May 18th, 12:05 in the morning, and this is episode 6, and I could not be more excited to be recording this right now. It has been, gosh, weeks, months maybe, that I recorded the last one, episode 5. I can't even remember if it was December, I believe, maybe, not too sure. First and foremost, I'm currently in the middle of my night hitch, which is not my favorite, and I think I've expressed this before. Nevertheless, it's kind of a quiet night, but I do apologize if you hear the Teams and Outlook notifications that I may receive from my workstation, so sorry about that. So again, it's been a long time and, a lot has happened and, pretty much a reason why I got out of somewhat my rhythm of recording, podcast episodes is because, and I won't go into detail. It's just, a major headache that I put behind me, but back in January, I had my my MacBook and my iPad stolen. They were both in my backpack, so it was easy for the thieves to steal it. And but thankfully, I replaced it thanks to insurance that helped me out there. When I got my new MacBook and iPad back, I pretty much had lost maybe about 2 weeks of doing or progressing through the DevSlows Academy that I'm enrolled in. And I just, even though it was 2 weeks, it just felt like an eternity for me because I was on a roll. I was, you know, on this this rhythm of knocking out the assignments and everything. And, it was just really unfortunate that, you know, that happened to me, but, I'm really happy that, since around late January, February, I had, gotten my new MacBook and iPad back, or, I got a new one. And, and since then I've just been really focusing, all my free time and not so free time, whenever work gets a little slow. I knock out an assignment or two just so I can, and not lose motivation, basically, just to keep that rhythm. It's important to me that I keep that sort of rhythm because if a day or two goes by and I haven't coded a bit, you know, I really feel like bad about it. It's just, you know, wasted time that I can't afford. Before I jump into the my progress at DevSlopes and where I am, I just want to give a huge shout out and thank you to you, the listeners. I logged into my Anchor FM account. Anchor FM is what I use to upload the episodes after I'm done recording, and they get sent out to all the listening platforms like Overcast, Apple Podcasts, Anchor, Spotify, all those. And I logged in and I stumbled upon like where all the analytics is. And I was blown away by just how much and how far it measures. Again, it shows the listening platforms, the gender, the age groups that people listen to my podcast. But the one that I was most blown away with was the geographic locations where people are located that are listening. And I remember when I first started recording, I was just like, I'm just going to record my episodes and just, you know, put it out there on the internet. Whoever listens, great. Whoever doesn't, that's fine too. And call it arrogance, but it didn't dawn on me where people would listen from. It just mattered to me if, you know, they listened and they enjoyed it. I'd be happy with that. But it never occurred to me like where people would listen from. And again, call it arrogance, but you know, when you take the internet for granted, you just know it works and it works the way it does. You just don't, it doesn't come to mind that the internet is everywhere in, you know, all corners of the world. Heck, even in space, they use the internet up there. So that's why when I saw the geographic location of where people are listening from, I was just like blown away. And I'll list the countries right now. Majority of you listen from the U.S., where I'm located at. And second is from Israel. Third, Germany. And from there, the list goes on. Everyone, or people from Poland, people from New Zealand, India, Philippines, the Ukraine, Norway, and Hong Kong are where I'm being shown that people are listening from. And again, it just blows my mind that, you know, people from all around the world listen and they take the time to listen. So it's like when I saw this, it just gave me a little burst of inspiration to continue recording, because at least now I know at least someone is listening. And yeah, that's pretty exciting to see. And again, I just thank you for taking the time to listen and, you know, patiently waiting for me to put out these episodes. So as I mentioned, I am about a third of the way of my night hitch, which puts me around one week to go. I'm never fond, as you know, of these night hitches because it's just so hard to flip my schedule, but it is what it is. But this time around, I've actually gotten more motivated to use this peace and quiet and getting ahead in the academy. I recently applied for this junior iOS developer role in Atlanta just because it really appealed to me. Well, the following day, I got a phone call from the internal recruiter, and she asked me about 4 questions just to get, you know, an idea where my knowledge is at. And it went fairly well. And she asked if I didn't mind doing a hacker rank assessment that she can email me. And I obviously said no, I had no problem with that. So they sent me the link, and it consisted of 8 questions. 4 questions were multiple choice. The other 4 were actual coding questions. And they gave me an hour, and I think it took me about 48, maybe 50 minutes to complete it. And I submitted it. And about an hour or two later, I heard from the recruiter again saying that I had passed the assessment, and she was going to move forward in submitting my grade and her results of, you know, the interview, how it went. And she was going to submit that to the managers. And this was Thursday or Friday, last Friday. And this morning I received an email from there, saying that unfortunately, because I had no bachelor's degree, just the associates, that the hiring managers felt that they shouldn't move forward with me. And, you know, even though I was a bit disappointed, because, again, no one likes being rejected like that, you know, I pretty much, you know, transferred that feeling of rejection into, like, motivation. And I've said it once, I've said it before, you know, even to my friends, like any time when you apply and you just get rejected like that, you know, don't feel down, you know, you just use that for fuel, for motivation, to keep trying, not to give up. And I feel as though when you get rejected or you don't get that role that you were looking forward to, it helps you grow professionally. It helps you grow that thick skin because, you know, it's really brutal out there. There are other people applying for that same position that you really want. And, you know, they have the upper advantage that they get the role. And, you know, we just have to realize that there are others who are more qualified than we are. But that being said, be motivated. Get motivated to enhance your skill set, to learn as much as you can, to find out what in your skill set you have missing. It should serve as a reality check, if you may. Look at your skill set, see where you can improve on, see what skills that you have a weakness in, and just, you know, dedicate some time to learn and strengthen, you know, make that weakness into a strength. And also realize that it's also just a handful of companies you'll get rejected from versus the thousands that are out there looking for somebody who is passionate about coding, who has a drive for it, and who just really wants to make a difference in that company and bring value to the company, because that's what they want to see. You know, they're looking at how can Joe bring value to the company, and they'll evaluate you from A through Z. And, you know, that's why it's important that you make sure your skill set is strong so that can appeal to the company and make you an asset to the company that, you know, they won't think twice about not hiring you. With that being said, it has really propelled me. It has really propelled my motivation to complete the academy soon and be more prepared to show my value as an iOS developer. This includes, but it's not limited to, gaining more knowledge and improving my portfolio. Just for, you know, I can be more tailored and more appealing for an employment consideration. Which brings me to my progress status in the academy right now. I am proud to say that I am currently 60% done with the DevSlopes Academy. I believe since I last posted the episode, I was 48%. Since that episode, I've learned the basic and intermediate table view functionality. I've worked with the basic stuff before, but never the intermediate, which consists of static table views and sectioning them off. And I think my favorite thing that I've learned was hiding and unhiding table view rows based on logic. In the most recent project submitted to DevSlopes, we were asked to make a table view controller that hides and unhides two sections. One section that has a username and password text fields for a PayPal login, and another section that has rows accommodating text fields for credit card information. And based on the payment selection the user chooses, the selected payments table view rows appear, while the non-selected payment types the selected payment table view rows appear, while the non-selected payment type rows hide. I can go further into detail on how this works, but I wrote a Medium article that contains a video with me explaining this. And I'll make sure to leave a link to the article in the episode description. So, what am I learning right now? I'm happy to say that I made it to the networking portion of the curriculum. What is a networking, database, and core location functionality of iOS is by far my most favorite to learn in practice. It's really empowering to see your device communicate with the internet by way of a REST API or database. And as an aspiring full-stack iOS developer, learning the networking database side really excites me because I'm actually learning something I'll be doing on a day-to-day basis. The first practical assignment was running a Node server to connect to a to-do app. It was really mind-blowing to see how the server was able to communicate with the client, which is the app. Particularly, one line of code that pushes a snapshot of the database after a CRUD operation performed on the client side. From what I've learned in the past, you have to write multiple lines of code on the client side that fetches a snapshot of the database after a CRUD operation. So it was really awesome seeing that. Currently, I'm getting the ball rolling on the assignment designated for us to submit. We were assigned to do a weather app that uses the Open Weather Map API endpoint. I need to create a weather app that displays the current weather data for the user's location based on the GPS coordinates passed in from the user's device. In addition, I need to show the next 5 hours and next 5 days of weather data. I'm really familiar with this kind of assignment. I've done a weather app before. However, I used Alamo Fire for the networking request portion of it. I never used Swift's own URL session, but thanks to the To-Do app I mentioned earlier, it helped me understand a URL session to where I'm more comfortable using it this time around for the weather application. So far, I've been able to request permission to grab the GPS coordinates of the user's device. Once permissions were granted, I fire off the protocol methods of core location that retrieve the latitude and longitude coordinates. And I created a singleton location services class that stores the latitude and longitude just so I can use a singleton across the application where I need it. After getting that done, I created a network request using URL session to be able to connect to the Open Weather Map API endpoint. And I was successfully able to connect to the endpoint, and I got a server response code of 200, which tells me that, again, I successfully connected to the endpoint. So what I need to do now is create the models for the weather data. I need to structure it because the weather, the actual JSON structure, a lot of the data is nested, so I need to focus on creating the models appropriately so it can retrieve the weather data accordingly. Now it's time for my most favorite part of the podcast, and that is where I share somebody who I found on Twitter, somebody who is a software developer who has the same passion for coding as I do, but not only that, somebody who is self-taught as well. I feel as though I need to put self-taught developers ahead of the forefront because that's who I am as well. We are a different breed. We challenge the status quo. And therefore, I like to put the spotlight on self-taught developers. And in this episode, I want to introduce you all to Leslie Rodriguez. She goes by the handle The React Girl on Twitter. She doesn't write any Swift code, but she, again, has the same passion for coding that I do. And she is a Lambda school graduate, and she is currently enrolled in the Hack Reactor, which is a 12-week boot camp that turns talented programmers into real software developers. Leslie is a web developer, and of course, she's into React. She also has her own blog, and she is now on Medium. When I read her first post on Medium, I felt victimized because I was reading it at my local bar. I could have been at home, working on my Deslopes courses or personal project. I would have felt less guilty and more inspired to continue on, but oh no, I just had to be at a bar, having a beer, relaxing on the patio where I was reading her first post. It's pretty much about procrastination, and it struck a nerve with me because it really triggered me, but in a positive way. It resonated with those days where I did not want to be behind the keyboard to debug an error, or when I just felt burnt out. Leslie's piece addressing procrastination is fantastic, and I highly recommend that you read it and that you follow her. Additionally, she writes a piece where she really gets personal about her life, and I wholeheartedly commend her for being as strong, for sharing that part of her life. It's not easy being vulnerable on the internet like she was, personally, after reading it, it made me a lot more humble of where I've come from, where I am, and how far I've come, pretty much. It just pushes me to do a little better and to keep looking and moving forward. I will leave a link to Leslie's Twitter and Medium profile in the podcast details. All right, everybody, that's going to do it for this episode. I know it's about half as long as what I usually record, but there is a storm going on right now that I'm afraid it might cut my internet off. So I want to make sure I upload this as soon as possible. So keep coding, keep applying to jobs, despite the rejection you get and the self-doubt that you feel. Do not be your own worst enemy. As a self-taught developer, you've come so far to be where you at, just to back down. Don't do that to yourself. So until next time, happy coding.